It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Wednesday, October 24th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And later we'll be checking in on negative music reviews and how do they make you feel.
We'll also be talking about new developments in streaming music and social media. First, a few of today's headlines. A new biopic about John Lennon and Yoko Ono is currently in development. Director Jean-Marc Vallée of Big Little Lies fame is reportedly revising a script for a movie that would, quote, focus on the ripe and relevant themes of love, courage, and activism in the U.S.
I'm very intrigued to see what the director of Big Little Lies pulls out of their relationship, because there are a lot of very intense topics that he could touch on.
Ripe and relevant, indeed. Well, at this point, it doesn't look like Yoko Ono is involved with the production, so he will be unchained, so to speak, in exploring that relationship. Individuals and organizations across the British music industry are calling on their government to rescind some new restrictions that are making it more difficult for artists from the US, Canada, and South America to visit the UK.
Here in the US, it's also extremely difficult if you're not a band from the US. It's very tricky for bands to come and tour in a country that's not their own.
Yeah, it's complicated, and it's getting more complicated, according to Member of Parliament Alex Sobel, who writes in a letter signed by numerous politicians and bodies from across the UK music industry, quote, "What was previously a simple system now asks visitors to acquire UK visas, which takes weeks to obtain, cost hundreds of pounds each, and involves a complex application process." So the British industry is warning that hundreds of acts could end up canceling UK tour stops because of these new restrictions.
I think that just makes it, as a fan, more exciting when you see your favorite artist from wherever in the world they live coming to your neighborhood. Maybe you can appreciate it a little bit more knowing the work that went into it.
Sonic Youth are celebrating the 30th anniversary of their classic album Daydream Nation with, what, a deluxe reissue?
A reunion? Ooh, that's not going to happen.
No. In fact, they're having a sale. They're having an online sale of gear and memorabilia. A bunch of records and test pressings are available right now, and the gear sale launches next Tuesday. We're talking about guitars, basses, rare records from the band members' personal collections, as well as show posters, photographs, memorabilia, personal relics. Kind of sounds like a big estate sale.
Yeah, kind of sounds like maybe a couple people in the band are like, yeah, I don't mind parting with some of those memories. They're not so happy anymore.
Well, it seems like a good solution all around, right? Let the fans have those objects and those relics that they love, and the band members can make some money to pursue their new music independently.
Pitchfork posted a negative review of rockers Greta Van Fleet, and the internet is buzzing about this, Jay. But Jade, you might be asking yourself, isn't that what Pitchfork does? Didn't they grow acclaim by being the snarkiest blog out there? Well, yes. Yes, that's actually true. But since their early years, the website has been seen as getting a little bit softer. But every now and then, there is this takedown, usually of a big artist, an established artist who's kind of being seen as selling out. What makes this different is that Greta Van Fleet is a fairly new band. They're a baby band. This is their debut album. Although their single has gotten them a lot of people saying, hey, this sounds a little bit like Led Zeppelin, or this reminds me of Rush. In fact, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin was like, yeah, I like this band. They do kind of remind me of old Led Zeppelin, but I think they're kind of cool. So with all this acclaim, they've been selling out their shows all over the place, getting into bigger venues. They're one of those breakout acts of 2018. So what did Pitchfork senior editor Jeremy Larson actually have to say about the album? I pulled out a couple of choice bits. This one, they are a new kind of vampiric band who's there to catch the runoff of original classic rock using streaming services' data-driven business model. Yikes. That is harsh, and it gets harsher. In some points, this feels like personal. Because he's taking shots, yes, at the fact that people seem to like this band, and also, hey, look at their lame outfits. Jeremy, who hurt you? Jay, how does this feel for you?
Well, so it seems like his argument is that not just do they feel like they are imitating a classic style, but they're not doing it in any kind of like campy way, right? They're not winking at all. So he compares them, for example, to The Darkness, another band that really like draw on that whole classic rock sound, but The Darkness kind of make it over the top and fun.
They bring a little bit of Queen into it as well.
Right. Whereas Greta Van Fleet are very sincere. They're like, no, this is what we do.
A lot of people were feeling conflicted about this and also about seeing negative reviews, because we don't see that many that are this negative, especially because most of the time, if you're going to write a review, you find an album that you like and then you write about it. So there's been a lot of back and forth about, well, maybe there should be room for critical looks at bands.
Yeah, certainly a lot of the music journalists who I follow are excited about this, whether they love or hate Greta Van Fleet, and they'll come down on both sides of it, but they just love the fact that an album review has this many people talking.
Exactly. So what do you say? Let us know where you land on Greta Van Fleet. You can tweet us at The Current using hashtag music news. Here, we'll give you a sample of that debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. This is When the Curtain Falls from Greta Van Fleet.
There's a lot of news happening all the time about streaming services, social media. Let's hit a few of today's quick stories about what's going on in that world. Facebook introducing the ability to add music to stories. That's like the Instagram story feature that you just do on Facebook instead of on Instagram. They're also expanding the Lip Sync Live sing-along feature to all profiles in many countries and teasing plans to allow users to add music to their profiles. Does that sound like any other social media service you might have used in the past, Jade?
I'm having flashbacks to MySpace. When people come to my page, will it be the same emo songs that they could back in the day? I don't know.
I'm going to add Lily Allen to my profile just like back in the day. In other news, a new SoundCloud integration allows you to share music from that service directly via your Instagram story, like you can do now from Spotify.
Very cool.
And 67,000 artists have already used a Spotify feature that encourages independent artists to submit music directly to that streaming service for playlist consideration.
Yeah, that's something we were talking about earlier. So what's kind of cool about all of this is it's going to allow younger bands, green bands, bands that maybe you haven't heard of, a chance to get out to a broader audience.
It's also a power play for Spotify, because what they want you to do is, okay, so you are a brand new artist. You've just written a brilliant track. You submit it to Spotify, say, hey, will you include this on one of your widely trafficked playlists? They're like, yes, upload it now. And now there you go. You have a track out there, hundreds of thousands of listens. You don't have a label. And bands that have this kind of success then get approached by labels, and they wonder, as Spotify probably hopes they wonder, do I need a label? Maybe I just release my music directly via Spotify and we cut labels out of the equation. Certainly bands are finding a lot of success with this feature if they are picked. For example, the group Small Million have now won tons of fans via their track Young Fools, which was picked for Spotify's Mellow Morning playlist. Young Fools. Today's viral clip is one of those hope it goes viral tracks where an artist puts it out and is like, this is it, the next viral thing. But this one is really for a really important cause. So John Legend and Linda Perry, frontwoman of Four Non Blondes and also hit-making songwriter for Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, and Pink, have joined up to write a new song, and it's like the shortest song in the world.
You know, if you bring in two people like that who are so good at writing the catchiest songs, it can't help but be good.
Let's just play it. Here you go. Here's John Legend singing their new song.
Hey, hey, come together. We can make the world much better. We can't give up on hope. Gotta get up and vote. Gotta get up and vote.
So, as you may have gathered, it's a Get Out the Vote jingle. Both John Legend and Linda Perry have shared their versions of the song. Christina Aguilera and Kelly Clarkson have also jumped in posting their versions of the jingle. And the hope is that people across the country sing the jingle, share the jingle, and get out the message that Election Day is coming up and it's important to make your voice heard. And that's today's music news. You can see John Legend and Linda Perry sing that jingle over at thecurrent.org and read more about all these stories. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Cecilia Johnson. If you're enjoying the podcast, Rate it, review it, share it, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more music news. Gotta get up and vote.